We are back. NFL season is upon us. Welcome to the First Instincts podcast. Just a quick shout out to Win Daily Sports for being a sponsor of the show and being a sponsor of all things fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy golf, all that good stuff. Fantasy baseball, I guess, if you're still playing that. So check out windailysports.com if you are interested in the DFS and betting space. Also, shout out to everybody that comes from the Better Golf podcast crowd. Greatly appreciate the support this season. Looking forward to getting back in the golf realm, but football is what brings us all together here today. Super excited for the season. I feel like the off season actually moved pretty quickly. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and, you know, I don't know, time flies, I guess, but I feel like the previous seasons, like the off season has felt like it has gone at a snail's pace, but we are back for the week one show. If anybody is tuning in from hearing Sia and I talk on the Fantasy Football Today show from CBS Sports, thank you for tuning in, one, and thank you for the support on Twitter, all the new follows and everything like that. You can follow me on Twitter at StixPix, StixPix. Super interactive. So if you guys got any questions, start sits, like this, yeah, this is a DFS podcast, but you know, what got us into DFS and everything that we're talking about today was the love for season-long fantasy first. So obviously we all got our home leagues, got to beat the shit out of our friends in those. So if you got questions for your lineup, anything like that, just reach out to me at any time on Twitter and I'd be happy to go through that. Quick warning, I do cuss on this podcast. It was actually, you're talking to Sia, man. He, like, it is so easy to temper my temper when I'm talking to him because he's such a positive and calm person. So like, I didn't even have the urge to cuss on that show. And now I get here. Last year, the fans that were listening did say like they wanted unfiltered, just let it rip. So I do apologize if you have kids in the car or anything like that. Moving forward, I will try to calm my language a little bit. But, you know, this is football. I get excited. So fuck it. We're going to say what we need to say and get this content out there in a fun manner. But overview of the show, unless you guys say otherwise, like by all means, if you have recommendations or want to hear some other content, let me know. But we'll go through some of the main injuries on the slate. Obviously, this is week one, not a ton to go through there, which is delightful. But moving forward, I'll probably move this podcast to a Thursday, if not Friday at the absolute latest, just so the injury reports do mature a little bit more as the season goes on. But it's week one. I think we all know we've probably hand-built a ton of lineups. I have actually filled the $5 Millie Maker with 150 hand-builds. No optimizer at all. So that's pretty funny. But yeah, reverting back to that fantasy football show with Sia, if you guys have not checked it out yet, I think if you're a beginner, it's a really good like way to divert the information on how to build successful DFS lineups, how to find contests that may be right for you. But in general, just, you know, start small. If you're new to this, find some small field single entries or play free contests and kind of see what type of lineup builds are successful. You know, what makes you successful? Are you crazy different, or do you like playing cash games, kind of riding some of that chalk? We'll go over ownership projections. Again, this is a Wednesday, but since it is week one, I do believe a lot of these to be pretty accurate. But the first game that we're going to break down here, this will just be for the DFS main slate on DraftKings for Sunday. So that is the 1 o'clock Eastern up to the 4:25 Eastern games. But the first game that we got is Carolina at the New Orleans Saints. This game opened up at a total of 40 points. That was actually one of my first bets, was over 40. I believe it was on BetMGM that I had minus 110 there. And the Saints are a 4-point favorite. That line has moved up, or that total, I'm sorry, has moved up to 41.5, 42 points. I think both of these defenses are going to be very subpar this season. I know we look at the Saints, everything like that, like, okay, they've been stout historically, but I don't know. I think that they have a lot to be desired on that defensive front. And obviously Carolina, you know, is quite bad defensively, but maybe with new coaching staff, all that good stuff, we can get a new look in Carolina. But for the Panthers, it looks like really not much to go from on the injury side of things. Jonathan Brooks, a very exciting player that we are probably all reaching on a little bit in our fantasy drafts, is going to be out for a little bit. So Chuba Hubbard should be wheels up in terms of workload. And then for the Saints, I don't really have anything worth noting on the injury or suspension side of things. You know, Kendre Miller obviously is on the IR, so we don't have to worry about him. So this should be a fantastic spot for Alvin Kamara. Looking at the QB ownership, Bryce Young is someone I'm interested in on the GPP side of things. That is what I talked about with Sia in this punt range, because I'll just be upfront. I'm trying to prioritize Tyreek Hill and Justin Jefferson together. I think most of the public will just be choosing, obviously, probably Tyreek Hill, and kind of leaving Justin Jefferson in that, you know, 8 to 12% own spot with a guy that should get 15 targets. And I don't care that he's playing the Giants. If anything, I think that helps, that that defense cannot stop anybody. And I don't care if they double Justin Jefferson. So that is kind of my GPP perspective here, is I'm trying to get those two together. For the record, I'm not saying this as advice. I'm just always being very clear on who my player pool is going to be and what it will consist of and what type of lineups I'm trying to build. So Bryce Young, I am kind of interested in. I have more so started to pivot to the other side of this game, because I do think that Alvin Kamara is going to be very, very high owned. Looking at Bryce Young, his player props 199 passing yards. Derek Carr is like in the mid 230s. I think the 80 model that will have all the projections and compared to player props in the market on WinDaily Sports. Those are all hand-built projections with a little bit of simulation, I guess, in there too. More so on the coverage scheme type of thing. And we will dive into coverage schemes a little bit as the season progresses. I know a lot of the coaching staffs haven't changed, but we do have a lot of turnover this year in the NFL. So I don't want to bore you with that, especially on a full slate. But yeah, seeing Derek Carr and Bryce Young at 1%, if not less than that, I think that'll probably hold true. On the RB side of things, I'm seeing 5% for Alvin Kamara. There's just no way. I think he's going to gain a ton of ownership. That is such a great price. You know, maybe Taysom Hill gets in there or whatever. But Clint Kubiak is an offense that, you know, like, I want to get exposure to that. And in cash, I'm 100% playing Alvin Kamara as of today, Wednesday. I don't see that changing. I think this is a three-down back who should get the goal line work. But in tournaments, I really think I'm going to pivot to the other side and play Derek Carr in this passing attack. So right now I'm seeing Chuba Hubbard at 15% ownership. There's no way people go that low. I think everybody's going to go after Javonte Williams and Jerome Ford, maybe even Zamir White. But Alvin Kamara by far is my favorite running back in this game, if not on the slate. And you could pair Alvin Kamara with Derek Carr. I don't know if you guys want to get that gross. That, you know, that I'll do, but I'm basically looking at like this. If Alvin Kamara is going to be 20% owned, a great way to get different in large field tournaments is just to play the exact opposite type of game script as Derek Carr gets all the red zone variants. And obviously I would love to pair him with Chris Olave. I'm seeing 5% ownership for Chris Olave. He is going to be a core play for me in GPPs. I don't think his ownership goes much higher, because again, people are trying to jam in Tyreek Hill. You know, maybe Mike Evans, I don't know, we'll go through ownership in a bit here. But Chris Olave, Tyreek Hill, and Justin Jefferson is in my main GPP lineup for the time being. I do tinker a ton, but to me, that looks very different. I can still afford quality running backs that will get 15-plus touches that I talked about on the CBS show with Sia is kind of a baseline that I am looking for. And I like to tell myself a story. So, you know, if Carolina can keep this game competitive, I was very surprised when the spread was only 4 points to me. I think Vegas thinks that Carolina can definitely hang in this game. I don't see anybody in the public betting Carolina, so I would assume that relatively sharp money is on Carolina keeping this close, and I don't think much of the Saints defense, so I do like Bryce Young a little bit. But in that stack, I do have it coming back with Adam Thielen. I know Deontay Johnson is going to be the more sexy guy that they got him in the offseason, spent some money on him. Alante Taylor is a guy we talked about a lot on this show, a lot that XM Radio, all those guys talk about. Like, his coverage numbers are terrible. He's a little guy, doesn't really get in front of wide receivers. We know Adam Thielen is a good route runner. He's old, but his legs are fresh right now. I do not like playing Adam Thielen ever, so I was very surprised when he graded very well in the 80 model. So right now, that main lineup is Derek Carr, Chris Olave, Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, and Adam Thielen. So I'm not going to tell you the whole lineup. I think that's against DraftKings rules. I personally don't give a shit, but I don't want to just bury you into this corner on the very first game of the podcast of playing Derek Carr. I just look at it as this is a very good spot for him at home to have a ceiling type of game of 2.5-3 touchdowns. I'm not projecting him for that, but when I'm making a GPP lineup, do I see a path that everybody in my lineup can get to 3-4x their salary? Absolutely. I think Olave could certainly go for 30 points. I think Adam Thielen could go for 15-20, especially if this does turn into a low-key shootout. And obviously Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, we don't need to talk about them. But Derek Carr, 5,300. super cheap, super interested at the time being. Punt tight end for me this week will be Juwan Johnson. I'm not going to like triple stack here with Alvin Kamara, Juwan Johnson, and Chris Olave. I'll just have variations because I do like this game. But for Carolina, man, Jordan Matthews did make the team as a tight end. If you guys remember him, he was pretty fantasy relevant for a little bit with the Philadelphia Eagles back in the day. I think Nick Foles was throwing him. I don't know. Don't really remember that far back, but not playing whack-a-mole with the Carolina tight end position at all. But I have no interest in Taysom Hill. I hope that that's not the way that this offense goes. It's just Taysom Hill gets two or three touchdowns, and both Derek Carr and Alvin Kamara come in at well below value. But 6 minutes of talking about the Saints game, how about that shit? Well, let's move on. Pittsburgh at Atlanta. We got an opening total of, the reason I like to tell you the opening two is to kind of see like where the market is moving. Opening total of 43. It looks like it's pretty much sitting at 43 or 42 flat. Circa is laying 42 flat. Falcons favored by 3.5. They opened at 2.5. So the public is on the Falcons here. I think that this will be a competitive game. At the quarterback side of things, I kind of like both these defenses a little bit. I don't want to pick on either side for the most part. So I'm not going to play Russell Wilson. I know that he, like the 3 weeks that I did smash last year, it was with Russell Wilson. Not doing that. I don't trust Art Smith at all. I do have this Atlanta offense moving a lot faster this year. So let's see what I got for projections. You know, well over 31.2 pass attempts that they averaged last year, probably under 30 rushing attempts, but pretty close to that, I think, with Art Smith being gone. Obviously, Zach Robinson from the McVay tree is going to be the OC there. Raheem Morris, a defensive-minded guy, replacing Art Smith. But I do think their tempo will be up there. Great offensive line. Here were my notes for the offseason on the Falcons. I basically said Rams 2.0 with a defensive mind. Would assume they throw a bit more, run a tad bit less. I just touched on that. Nothing crazy there. Tempo will probably not be as fast as Art Smith, but it won't be slow. McVay and company were very, very low in targets to RBs, but I don't think that that will really affect Bijan Robinson. I think that they will, you know, maybe we can even see like the Todd Gurley rollback when he was just absolutely lethal for 2 years at the Los Angeles Rams in the fantasy side of things. But really high volume for wide receiver ones, great for Drake London, and they do try to scheme their bigger players and guys that can run routes well in the middle of the field. I think that should be a big sign for Kyle Pitts. We'll see. I think he's a great GPP play this week, and if it doesn't really happen, I know Pittsburgh's D is a tough one to pick on, but Kyle Pitts should get schemed into plus matchups with Zach Robinson being there, that these guys are thinkers on the offensive side of the ball from this McVay tree. So I do like him, but Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson, 6,100 for Kirk, 54 for Russ, probably both a pass for me. They have no ownership, so if you like this game, by all means, it'll be way different in tournaments. Bijan Robinson, 7,700, 15% ownership. I think that's fair. Jaylen Warren, if he is still banged up, I'm okay with Najee Harris here. I definitely think you could run on Atlanta a little bit. And obviously with Art Smith, who knows what's going to happen. But if Jaylen Warren is banged up, I think Najee can get a ton of run right now, projected for 1% ownership. On the wide receiver side of things, if you want to play Drake London at 6K, 10% ownership, I think it'll be less than that personally. I'm okay with it. Just again, not a game that I'm really interested in, not really interested in George Pickens, but 5,700 for the upside. You know, I feel like Russ really does his damage inside the field, kind of those deeper routes to split the safeties that Tyler Lockett made a living on with Russell Wilson. And I don't know, I just want to see both of these offenses. But if I had to choose one guy, like I'll never talk you off Bijan Robinson, by the way, but one guy that I do think is way too cheap and we may never see his price this low again is Kyle Pitts at 4,600. I have no interest in Freiermuth at 4,400. Both defenses are in play. I probably wouldn't play the Falcons at 33 is not a bad price, but the Steelers at 2,900, sure. Moving on to the next game, a little more sex appeal here. Buffalo hosting the Arizona Cardinals, and let's see what that total opened up at. Looks like 48 was the opener, pretty much holding steady at 48 currently, you know, anywhere from a half point either way. Buffalo opened up at a 7.5-point favorite. That is now down to 6.5 exclusively, it looks like. But Josh Allen, like, yeah, probably the best quarterback play on the slate. I'm seeing 6% ownership. I think that's fair. It's tough to fit everybody in there. If you're going with Josh Allen and maybe people are a little bit turned off and want to see what those target shares look like with no Stephon Diggs, obviously Gabe Davis is gone too. Kyler Murray, 6,400, 5% ownership, probably my favorite play on the week in general. He is leading the way in my cash game quarterback. Overall, I just think that this is a game they will fall behind and inevitably, and Kyler runs a little bit. Like, the guy just shows up and gets 18-plus fantasy points a game, even if it doesn't look pretty. That's, you know, 3.5 or 3x times his salary, which is something I definitely look for in a cash game environment. So Kyler right now will be my cash game quarterback. Josh Allen probably second on that list. I just have a hard time fitting Tyreek Hill and or Justin Jefferson in cash, which will pretty much be core plays for me. On the running back side of things, James Cook, 6,900. I'm seeing 13% ownership. I just don't think that he's worth paying that high for. I still think the goal line running back is Josh Allen. I don't know how much we'll see Ty Johnson or Ray Davis, but it certainly is a potential threat. But they definitely, you know, Joe Brady especially leaned into playing a ton of James Cook last year, and he was very effective handling a full workload. So if you do believe in James Cook, I just think the price is a little high. I'd rather have Alvin Kamara for 200 less on DraftKings, but I will not talk you off of playing James Cook. James Conner, on the other hand, 6,200, I think is a fantastic price. I think this guy is locked in for 20 touches. He will be the bell cow back for quite some time. I am interested in Trey Benson from a season-long perspective late, but until we have reason not to play James Conner, this guy is probably going to be a focal point of this offensive game plan, because if I'm Arizona, I do not want to get in a shootout with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills at home, especially with Arizona's defense. So I think James Conner is a great GPP pivot. 6,200 looks like a lot of that ownership will go to Kenneth Walker at 6,100, but we'll see what happens. On the wide receiver side of things here, we got Marvin Harrison Jr., 7,200. I mean, I don't know. Could he be a lock for 15 targets a game? Like, I said it to Sia, he runs routes like Devontae Adams. He's as tall as Randy Moss, and he's built like Steve Smith. So it's like an absolute freak of a talent, and he is. I think I got him late in round two in my home league draft, and I had no intention of drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. Never thought he'd fall to me. Kind of even like panicked when I was like, oh shit, I guess like it was Marvin Harrison or I think Devontae Adams is already gone. Like, I feel like I would have led Devontae Adams there by nose, but I'm banking on the talent on this guy. I don't think I'll play 7,200 Marvin Harrison week one, though it should be a great game script. But the story I'm telling myself here is that Arizona does not want to get in a shootout with the Buffalo Bills and leans heavily on James Conner. For Buffalo, yeah, there's a lot of excitement with Keon Coleman. I do think their wide receiver one should be Khalil Shakir. Guy was extremely effective when he got touches last year. I think that QBR rating when he was targeted is like 119 or something like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't have any stats in front of me right now. That was one of the pieces of feedback from last year, is I was always like flipping around this piece of paper and you could hear it on the microphone. I did try to make my notes digitally this year, but Khalil Shakir, 5,100. I think I'm going to be very interested in him right now. Like, the debacle in my mind is, or the debate is probably the more appropriate term. I'll butcher words all the time too, and their meaning. So again, don't be offended if my English isn't perfect. But I'm debating right now, like, Adam Thielen as a bring back to that Derek Carr lineup, or do I just get rid of Carolina altogether and don't follow the GPP unwritten rules of having a bring back and play Khalil Shakir and like James Conner, like a mini stack in this game with a 48 point total seems pretty appealing to me. So I do think Khalil Shakir has a high ceiling and a high floor. So I will be doing something different on WinDaily this year. It'll be like a playbook. So kind of like a cheat sheet base, but also have my bets, also have some notes there, and my player pool as a whole. So for cash and GPP, Khalil Shakir, check both those boxes. So someone that is likely going to be a core play for me. On the tight end side of things, I have no interest in paying 6,100 for Trey McBride. I know he is super sexy last year, but Marvin Harrison wasn't there last year. And again, you know, my theory on James Conner, I think they run him into the ground this week, but who knows? I don't know. I don't think he's worth paying 6,100. I think Dalton Kincaid at 5,800 is a fantastic idea, especially if you are playing Josh Allen. If you just want to play Josh Allen and Dalton Kincaid, great. If you want to throw Shakir or Keon Coleman in there for extra upside, if you're on Buffalo, by all means, good luck fitting Miami and Jacksonville guys in that lineup. But I love Dalton Kincaid. Trey McBride will be a fade for me this week. both defenses. Probably the Bills 3K is where I'm more interested in, but I don't know if you got a punt defense for 2,400 Cardinals. Josh Allen's certainly capable of throwing a pick six or two. Tennessee and Chicago, at first, I was very interested in this game, and Hard Knocks, like, don't be, what's the word I'm looking for? Influenced so much by Hard Knocks. I know I am too. Like, looking at that Bears D, they just look mean, and I do believe in them. Jalen Johnson's an absolute stud. So, I don't know. I feel like the Bears will play a little bit slower, especially with Caleb Williams. I did like Will Levis' side of things in this game, but I believe in that defense now a little bit too much. The opening total is 43.5. We have 45 at Circa. We have 45 at Bet Rivers. I hate that book, but we won't talk about them. 44.5 FanDuel. I think I'd lean the under here. I really don't think that either defense is bad. I think Tennessee's defense is absolutely legit. And will be a force to be reckoned with this year. They brought in a lot of good players. I wish I had their whole depth chart up, but obviously leading the way there, the acquisition of L'Jarius Sneed, cornerback out of, obviously, Kansas City. Let's see what else. What else did they bring in? Oh, irrelevant. Jamal Adams, too. So, like, this defense should be good. So, I think this game goes under 45. I don't think I'll bet it. I don't have a very high, like, perceived edge running that game. I think I have it at 43, so I'm probably not something I'm going to dip my toes in, but you know, Caleb Williams, all the talent in the world. I'm seeing 12% ownership projection, 5,900. If Keenan Allen's good to go, like, good luck on picking who to stack him with. But both DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and Keenan Allen are cheap. So, Will Levis, 5,300. I'm seeing 5% ownership. I just don't believe that. But Will Levis is kind of like a sexy offseason guy. Tony Pollard, 5,900. I'm seeing 12% ownership. DeAndre Swift is someone that I'm interested in on the GPP side of things. I think you could run on Tennessee a little bit. Danico Autry leaving, I think, helps a ton there. That guy was just absolutely huge. He is suspended now for Houston. But DeAndre Swift should be very, very busy. And looking at an offense with a ton of pass-catching weapons, I kind of, on the GPP side of things, like to just go to the running back. I just don't know if DeAndre Swift is going to get the goal line carries. But with what they're paying him and that offensive line being good, I think DeAndre Swift's by far their best running back. So maybe he does get the touchdown variance, but 2% owned DeAndre Swift could be someone you see in like the Millie Maker winning lineup. Talked about the wide receivers. Keenan, 3% owned, 6,900. Not a bad price, but again, just so many mouths to feed. You still got like Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett. Like, these guys are going to get targets. Calvin Ridley, 5,800, great price. Probably sees a ton of Jalen Johnson. That worries me a little bit. DeAndre Hopkins, I know he had a very effective season last year, but 5,700 is a good price. Just, I don't know. I don't think I really want to invest in Tennessee's wide receiver core yet. Tyler Boyd, 4,500, being brought over from Cincinnati, which obviously is someone that, you know, Brian Callahan liked a lot there and brought here. So I think he's in play, but doesn't have a very high ceiling. So I don't know. Not really interested in the pass catcher. There's so many, and I don't know where it's going, and I don't necessarily know what coverage to kind of scheme here, because I have a hard time seeing this game go up pace. So I'm probably out there. One of my punt plays of the week at the tight end position is not going to be Chigakonko. It will be the 6'7 burner Josh Wiley for Tennessee. I'm not saying lock him in by any means, but if you heard the lineup I was building, I kind of need some salary relief. Josh Wiley is one of those options for me. I think he'll be heavily involved in the red zone. I do think the middle of the field, getting linebackers and safeties, anybody guarding someone 6'7 is going to have a mismatch there. But I think Josh Wiley is a focal point of this offense. As long as that concussion from the preseason is good to go, or practice, I don't even think he played in the preseason that second or third game. But Josh Wiley, 2,500, 13-1 on FanDuel to score a touchdown. That is a bad price. I don't expect him to score a touchdown, but if you listen to week one last year, we did call the Donald Parham touchdown at plus 850, so 8.5-1 on that. I think that Josh Wiley should be priced at like 6.5-1, I think, is what my model has it. So 13-1, literally two times the odds. I'm taking a anytime touchdown prop on Josh Wiley. I would not advise you go crazy on anytime touchdown props. Such a variant piece of this game. Both defenses in play. Probably more so the Bears than the Titans. I think the Bears defense is going to be awesome this year, but moving on to New England, Cincinnati. New England has a team total of 16.5 points. That is, I mean, the Chargers have 21.7. Wow, I was going to say the Chargers got to be low, but I guess Vegas likes them. Yeah, New England's offense is going to be terrible. We're not going to talk about anybody on that side of things. It sounds like Ja'Marr Chase came to practice. which is good. Hopefully he plays. I know we all probably invested a lot of draft capital in him this offseason, or I'm sorry, this fantasy draft season. I don't really know how to handicap the running backs. It sounds like Chase Brown is going to return kicks, so I would lean Zach Moss. I think 5,800 at 1% ownership against a Patriots defense that is not the Patriots defense we're used to. They are talented, but Bill Belichick is the defensive genius there. I know Jerod Mayo kind of came from his school too, but Zach Moss, probably a excellent GPP pivot. You know, the Bengals being, I didn't mention that line here. What are they? They got to be a 7.5-point favorite, right? Cincy, where the hell are you guys? 8-point favorite. So almost a double-digit favorite at home. I think Zach Moss is an excellent play in GPPs, especially when all the ownership's going to go to guys like Zamir White, Jerome Ford, Javonte Williams, and apparently Chuba Hubbard. Based on what we talked about earlier, I still don't believe that ownership on Hubbard. But give me Zach Moss in a GPP lineup with a 24-point implied team total for Cincinnati. Zach Moss is their goal line back. And obviously Joe Burrow coming off an injury and Ja'Marr Chase not going to be 100% in shape, I would imagine. This one opened up at 42.5-point total, bet down to 40.5 at most books, 41 sitting at DraftKings. That's gross. I think this game is gross and we can kind of skip it over. But if you want to stack Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, whatever, like, go ahead. I'm not playing Mike Gesicki or any other tight ends for New England. Moving on. That game's gross, but I will never talk you off of stacking Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, or T. Higgins, or running the double stack. But, yeah. Highest total, I believe, currently? Or did... It looks like Jacksonville-Miami went 49.5. And then we got Houston going to the Colts. I think this is a game I do like the under on. The public loves C.J. Stroud. This guy's flying off draft boards. I do think this is a run-first offense in Houston. You know, Bobby Slowick, that is what he wants to do. This is a defensive-minded team, and they have a ton of talent on defense. And it's hard to handicap the Colts' whole situation here. But I don't know. Shane Steichen, like, I do want to trust him, but I don't think they want to really push the envelope on Anthony Richardson throwing a lot. So we'll see what happens, but I do think the air gets kind of brought out of the ball from both sides. But C.J. Stroud has so many weapons. 2% owned, 7,500. Priced like a stud, clearly was a stud last year. If you want to go back to it, you could certainly pick on the Colts defense. I just find it hard to believe that the Colts will be able to keep pace if this does turn to a shootout. Anthony Richardson, 6,300. I'm seeing 8% ownership. I'm off it this week. I respect Houston's defense too much, but I would actually probably try to talk you off that. But I love Jonathan Taylor. I think if there's anything, especially with Autry being suspended for Houston, that Jonathan Taylor is going to be the focal point of this offense, has a path to 20-25 plus touches, probably active in the passing game. Joe Mixon, 6,600, probably a little expensive for my blood, but similar to what we talked about with Chicago and what we'll talk about when Green Bay gets on the slate, a lot of mouths to feed from the pass catching side of things. A lot of the times I just like to go with the running back, but you know, I don't know. I still feel like 6,600 Joe Mixon. I'd rather have Zach Moss for 5,800 and 1% ownership. I'm seeing Joe Mixon projected for 5% ownership. Wide receivers, you know, it's kind of whack-a-mole with Houston. I still think, you know, Nico Collins is going to be the X. He should be the guy getting A-plus targets a game. Stephon Diggs probably, I think I have him for like 5.5 targets, 4 catches this game. So I don't know, 6,700. I'd rather wait and see how that offense shakes out. Tank Dell, I think, is going to aggravate a lot of season-long owners, but a great basketball player because he will go for 25-plus points multiple times a season. Just when that happens, I don't know. Colts injuries, looks like Josh Downs is probably going to be out this game. I think we all kind of expected that, but he is a guy, if you're doing like a late-night draft tonight or tomorrow morning or something, like Josh Downs is falling way too late. He will be active in this offense pretty soon, and I think he'll be a big part of it. But tight ends, not really interested in Dalton Schultz. You could certainly stack up Houston many different ways. The issue for me is I don't know how to project it confidently and invest in that situation. Kylan Granson, probably the starting tight end for Indy, but we'll see some Mo Alie-Cox and Jelani Woods, obviously, on the IR. So not playing tight end whack-a-mole there. I do think this goes under the total. Probably the sexiest game of the week is going to be Miami hosting Jacksonville. We have an opening total of 49, pretty much sitting at 49, maybe a couple books at 48.5. Miami being a 3-point opening favorite, now 3.5 at most books. I think Bet Rivers is having 3 and minus 120. Who the fuck bets minus 120 on the sides? But whatever. If you got an expected edge, you got an edge. Tua at 7K is probably too expensive for most. Great GPP play, 3% owned. Trevor Lawrence, 6,200, very good price, but I do believe in Miami's defense. I know they were terrible last year, but they should be healthy. Jalen Ramsey, I don't know. We'll see. Like, they could be beat. I do think this is a good spot for Jacksonville to kind of make it very, very close game, if not beat Miami, but we'll see what happens. They're going to have to be able to run the ball very, very well. We'll see some Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne. Etienne, 7,200, probably just too expensive for me. I'm seeing Devon Achane at 24% ownership, 6,800. No way. I don't know. That's guy, like, I project for like 12 to 13 touches. What he does with those 12 to 13 touches sometimes is phenomenal. I'm out. I'm not paying that much for a chalky guy. I'm not even playing him in cash. I like Raheem Mostert as a GPP pivot at 6,400. No interest in Tank Bigsby or any of the backups there like Jalen Wright or anything like that. Wide receiver, Tyreek Hill is probably a lock for 15-plus targets. Have nothing wrong to say about him at all. I am going to be very heavy on Tyreek Hill this week. Jalen Waddle, if you want to punt down to it, go ahead. I don't know what kind of shape he'll be in, but we'll see what happens. Christian Kirk is a guy that I am actively keeping an eye on. If he's good to go and 100%, I think this is a great spot for him. Sure, he'll see Jalen Ramsey, but Ramsey's not going to shadow. Brian Thomas Jr., super sexy guy right now in the fantasy community, 4,700. Gabe Davis, like, I don't know. If I'm playing anybody, it's going to be Christian Kirk and Evan Engram for Jacksonville. But, you know, certainly Gabe Davis could be a guy you see in the Millie Maker. Brian Thomas Jr. could go, you know, 62 yards and two touchdowns. Like, could be in very good Millie Maker value at 4,700. So it depends on how you handicap that situation. To me, I just can't really afford taking a dart on those guys with the way I'm building my lineup. So I'd rather have someone that does have higher expected volume, like an Adam Thielen or a Khalil Shakir. But Christian Kirk, if I could find a way to put him in my lineup, if he's good to go, I absolutely will do that on the other side of Tyreek. Tight end situation, obviously the only guy you're interested in here, in Evan Engram, 22% ownership, 5,500. He is in my cash fab five, we call it. I put five players in that playbook on Win Daily Sports. Evan Engram right now is in it at tight end. The only other guy I was considering really in cash at tight end was Dalton Kincaid. Moving on to Minnesota at New York, probably a game we move quickly past. Opening total of 41, sitting at 41, 41 and a half, depending on what book you look at. Giants opened a 1.5-point favorite. Now Minnesota's a 1.5-point favorite. I don't know. I trust Dabble. I don't know why I do, but I do. But that game's going to be interesting. I think it'll be very, very slow. Not really interested in any tight end. Let's just get that because I have the tight end position selected here. No love for Bellinger, Johnny Munt, anything like that with Hockenson out. I'm out. You know, maybe Johnny Munt is sneaky, I guess, because Kevin O'Connell's still calling the plays there, and that's been a very successful spot of his play calling. And I do believe in Sam Darnold a little bit here. So, quick water break. Daniel Jones, 5,400. Not really interested. 5% owned. Sure, he can get it done with his legs and break a slate open. Sam Darnold, 5,200. Not really there. I don't see the Giants being able to score much. I think Brian Flores and this defense for Minnesota will be very, very good this year and keep them in a lot of battles in the NFC North. I don't feel the same about New Orleans defense, so I do think that Carolina can outscore and keep pace with the Saints instead of the Giants keeping pace with Minnesota. I also worry about Minnesota's offense. But Aaron Jones, 6,500, seeing 12% ownership. Not against it, not really for it. Devin Singletary, 5,700. No one behind him right now. You know, maybe Tyrone Tracy gets it going, but his ankle, I believe, is hurt. Yeah, I don't know. Don't really love that. Really, the only core play for me overall is going to be Justin Jefferson, 8,400. It is expensive, but I think it's still too cheap. This guy should be 9K every single week. He's 100% healthy. Kevin O'Connell is going to force feed him. I think even if the Giants double team him, that's not enough. Malik Nabers, 5,900, seeing 18% ownership. It looks like the public kind of likes a little mini stack here. I'm okay with it. I'm probably not going to play Nabers, though this is a price that is interesting. I just respect every corner, and I respect Brian Flores and this Minnesota secondary. So, yeah, I'm probably out on Malik Nabers at 18%. I think that's an easy one in GPPs to get rid of, but if he's absolutely stud, too. So everything I've seen, he goes up, gets it, high points the ball, good route runner. Like, yeah, he's the real deal, and you're not paying 7,200 like you are for Marvin Harrison, but you're also not getting the 48-point, you know, total that you're getting in the Buffalo game, that you're getting, what, 40, 1 point total here. So, of course, the price should be a little bit lower. One guy I don't hate as a punt is Wandale Robinson. We'll see a ton of cover two and cover three from Minnesota. That should open things up for Wandale Robinson. The issue there is there's just going to be little to no yards after catch, and the eight out is going to be very low. So if you're plugging in a guy like Wandale Robinson, I was kind of interested in going into the week. I just don't see much of a ceiling unless he runs his little option routes. If they get to the goal line area, the green zone inside the five, like, sure, he could score two touchdowns. I just worry about the Giants getting into the red zone in general and then getting it 15 yards up into the green zone. So I don't know. Not really interested in that game as a whole. Besides, Justin Jefferson will be a core play for me again, because I don't think the field will play J-Jeff and Tyreek together. Moving on to the afternoon, another gross game. The Chargers hosting the Las Vegas Raiders, Gardner Minshew and the Raiders. Opening total 43. Chargers opened up as a 3.5 point favorite. That was quickly bet down to 3 points. So, yeah, let's see what Harbaugh's got in them. I love the NCAA giving him like a suspension or a fine. Like, all right, way to tell him. That's he doesn't work there anymore. But yeah, cool. So quarterbacks, dude, Justin Herbert, 5,800, 1% ownership. Any other day in my life, I would fucking hammer that, and he'd be my GPP quarterback. I do respect the Raiders' defense. I do love the Chargers' defense. They're, on paper, one of the most talented defense out there. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa. Joey Bosa's got no more cast on, so it sounds like he's good to go. But it's Greg Roman. It's Jim Harbaugh. We are going to see a slow pace, a lot of running. Can't play Justin Herbert, but man, if you guys have the balls to do it, would it be that surprising if Justin Herbert threw for 310 and three scores like we are used to him seeing? But that was with Joe Lombardi and Kellen Moore, guys like that, that want to pass the ball and want to play up pace. So we will not see that. I see Zamir White at 4% ownership. I thought he'd be absolute chalk. Maybe not. So I don't know. I still prefer Zach Moss over Zamir White. Because again, I think my favorite play in this game is going to be the Chargers defense. I don't think anybody gets to them, but we'll see. Davante Adams, 3% owned, 7,600, great price. You know he's going to get 12-plus targets. That is just what he does. So despite the pace and the low total, I'll never talk you off playing Davante Adams. If you want to stack, you know, Justin Herbert, maybe Josh Palmer's your guy. No interest in guys like DJ Chark. I think Trey Tucker was going to break some slates open when it's a showdown and the Raiders are playing. I don't know if they have many primetime games. I personally wouldn't put them on primetime, but you never know. Not this week. Brock Bowers, probably a wait and see for me. 4,500. Sounds like he's still dealing with some issues. Michael Mayer, 3,100, is someone I definitely don't hate. With Luke Getsy coming over from Chicago, I know Luke was kind of a joke with this offense, but he's going to run a ton of 12 formation, have both Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer kind of move in line, out, in the slot, and in motion too. So like, this is a good spot for tight ends. We saw the Bears tight ends kind of be very viable fantasy players, mainly Cole Kmet last year, but they get touchdowns. So Michael Mayer, 3,100 is a punt. I don't hate it. Hayden Hurst, obviously Greg Roman liked him a ton to bring him over. The tight end, going back to like, shit, Vernon Davis in the Harbaugh system has been very effective. So I don't hate Hayden Hurst, but I'm probably just off this game in general. And we'll play a lot of the 2,900 at home Chargers defense at 5% owned right now. We'll see. If they're getting up to 8, 10%, I'll probably get off, but I don't know. We'll see. Another offense I'm pumped to see here in the afternoon is Seattle. I think that this will be a very fun system to watch. I think we'll see a lot more passing. I will think we'll see a ton of Jaxon Smith-Njigba in a very appropriate way that utilizes his skill set and his decent length. I think he's 6 foot, 6'1", and pretty strong, not crazy burner fast, but a great route runner. But we got Ryan Grubb coming over from Washington, where, you know, obviously Michael Penix was a superstar and a lot of good things happened there. Geno Smith, I'm seeing at 9% ownership. I thought that a lot of the ownership would go towards Geno. I do worry about Denver's ability to keep this game close and keep Geno throwing. So I do have a ton of interest in Kenneth Walker, but it looks like the field does too. 18% owned for Kenneth Walker. If that is the case, I think I'll probably pivot to James Conner and Khalil Shakir instead of Kenneth Walker and Adam Thielen, which I think is what my lineup had. If I mentioned that, I guess I have given up the whole lineup by now. But Javonte Williams, I think, will be probably 10 to 15% owned, 5,500. I'm seeing 4% right now. I just don't believe that. I think he's getting steamed. But There's one guy. Oh, I'm seeing Jaleel McLaughlin at 10% owned. I think if that's true, the field's sharp. I don't love this guy. I do think he's a game buster, though. Like, this is someone that can absolutely blow the doors off a defense, take a screen pass to the house at any time. There is no one sub 4,500 in the RB position that is, like, guaranteed touches. So, like, in general, Jaleel McLaughlin has a case to be played a lot. But what I do like about him is, like, the game theory here. I think Seattle is going to score at will. You know, we got Patrick Surtain. I wonder if he shadows DK Metcalf. Surtain just got paid, too, so that's pretty cool. But Jaleel McLaughlin should get 10 to 12 touches no matter the game script. And if Seattle does, you know, blow the doors off him, and that's kind of the game script that I'm telling myself here, I'm okay with playing Jaleel McLaughlin as your RB2 in a GPP lineup. Don't play him in cash. I guess you could if the rest of your lineup's absolute sex. But Jaleel McLaughlin, 10%, I figured he'd be like 2, but I guess he's getting steamed of late. Just too good of a price for the expected workload. So I think I'm probably ownership agnostic on him. I'm going to be interested in Jaleel McLaughlin. On the receiver side of things, want to play a ton of DK Metcalf, but again, I'm a little worried about Patrick Surtain. But again, I don't know. I don't think it matters. You can't really cover DK Metcalf. 6,200. Great price. Probably someone I look at in cash. Him or Kenneth Walker, I think, will be in my cash lineup. Geno Smith, I guess I would consider in cash too, but I'm going to play Kyler or I'm going to play Josh Allen. I'm not messing around with the QB position this week. Tyler Lockett sounds like he's pretty banged up. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, 15% owned right now at 4,900. I think that's probably accurate. That's a really good price for someone with his talent and what we expect to see out of the Ryan Grubb offense. But if he's 15% owned, I think I'll probably fade that in GPPs and just kind of pray that it goes all Kenneth Walker or this game's slower than anticipated. But I don't know. It's hard to talk you off anybody there. Cortland Sutton's probably the only game in town from a pass catching side of things for Denver. Unless you want to play the Greg Dulcich game at tight end. Noah Fant, probably going to have a very busy season, but sounds like he's still banged up a little bit. Back at practice, though, so we like to see that. Seattle's defense is probably my favorite seasonal streamer this week from a defensive side of things. I do think Bo Nix is going to have some game. I do trust Sean Payton, Joe Lombardi, you know, that whole coaching tree, but it was not good with Russell Wilson last year, but that's the reason I kind of like Jaleel McLaughlin, because the running back is, the pass catching running back at least, is very effective in those systems. It, you know, made Austin Eckler obviously what he was in fantasy the past couple of years, and obviously Austin Eckler was pretty good. Moving on, actually, what was the opening total? Denver, 41 was the opener. Seattle, 5-point favorite, 42 now at most books. And 6-point favorite for Seattle. Seattle will probably be one of my first-click survivor teams. I think the Saints would probably be another one. And, I mean, I want to click Cincinnati. I don't know. Probably Buffalo. I don't want to burn Buffalo that early, but you got to get past week one to get to week two, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I think Seattle's probably my favorite survivor team. I don't think they lose, and I think their defense is extremely talented. Afternoon game that's should have had sex appeal a couple months ago, but Deshaun Watson, we don't know what to expect there. Maybe that's a great GPP play at 6K flat. I do think Dallas' defense is still going to be pretty solid. Dak Prescott, 7,100. 0% ownership. You know where the targets are going. It's going to CeeDee Lamb, maybe some Jake Fergie, maybe a little Jalen Tolbert, but they have to pass the ball 45 times. I wouldn't kill you if you wanted to play Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb and just jam it down the chalk Tyreek and decent ownership Justin Jefferson. That's a great way to get different in tournaments, and it's a very easy path to success because, you know, Dak's probably going to throw it 40 times. So I'm not there. Currently, I'm seeing Dallas with a 19-point implied team total. Worries me a little bit, but the volume will be there. So if you want to get simple but, you know, tough matchup in GPPs, Dak is the way to go. No interest in the Dallas running game. Jerome Ford, 5,500. I figure he'd be very, very high-owned, but doesn't look like it. Like, sitting in the 8 to 10% range, I think that's fine. That's a fair price for a guy that should get 15-plus touches. CeeDee Lamb, a great pivot off of Tyreek Hill or Justin Jefferson or maybe like a Marvin Harrison, Mike Evans, whatever. Amari Cooper, 6,900, great price. Deron Bland is out for Dallas. So, I don't know, like, you could probably pass on Dallas. It's just, does Deshaun Watson have any game? I don't know. I'll probably have a lineup with Deshaun Cooper running back with CeeDee just because I don't want to miss, you know, I got to edit one of those 150 handbuilds. I probably did not make that lineup, but yeah, not super interested in Jake Ferguson unless I'm stacking up this game or getting exposure like the afternoon slate or something like that. We talk about the total opened up at 44, now at 40.5 at ESPN Bet, DraftKings 41 at Rivers, 41 at Circa. So sounds like sharp money is pushing this one down. I agree that it should be a slower paced game, but who knows? Definitely great fantasy players in condensed target share. So I love to find games that check that box because it's easier to make a lineup and not hate yourself when the game goes off and you just got the wrong combination. Washington at Tampa Bay, the final game on the slate, opened up at 41.5, bet up to 43.5 and 44 at some books. So this is a game I think both defense will struggle. So I'm interested in this game. I thought Jaden Daniels would be one of my highest owned quarterbacks. I don't think that's going to be the case, but let's check at his ownership. I have moved more towards Derek Carr again, which is fucking gross, but in GPPs, that's kind of how I like to play. If I don't finish in the top 20, I might as well just finish last. I kind of look at it. Obviously, a min cash will take it anytime. Not going to be an asshole, but yeah. Jaden Daniels, 5,700, 13% ownership projection. Baker Mayfield, 5,600, 5 to 7% range. You could definitely play Baker. You know where the targets are going. It's going to Chris Godwin, Rashad White, and Mike Evans, and the red zone's going to Mike Evans. So I'm okay with that. I think Washington should put up a fight on the other side. Running backs, Rashad White, 15% owned, 6,300. I'm cool with it. Dave Canales being gone and over to New Orleans. Maybe we don't see as many checkdowns, but Rashad White's probably going to be on the field a ton. I don't think they're going to go right to Bucky Irving. Sean Tucker's not going to be a thing, so not worried about that. Should be a guy that gets 20 touches. I still feel like I prefer James Conner just because I do like what I think Arizona will do on offense, and I'm okay betting on it with my DFS lineup. No interest in paying 6K for Austin Eckler. Brian Robinson, 5,200, could be a guy that scores twice. You never know, but probably not going there. Wide receiver side of things, Mike Evans, 4% owned, 6,300. Like, I want to jam the hell out of that. Probably not going to play a ton of Chris Godwin, 5,800. Terry McLaurin, 5,600, great cash game play. Very, very good value here. I think he's a great tournament play if you want to stack this game up and play a lot of Baker. Let me see my notes for the Bucks with Liam Cohen. So he's a guy that's from the McVay tree too. So I think their passing rate should be right around like 34 to 35 times a game. We'll certainly run more too. Again, like, I just don't think Rashad White's that good of a runner. So I worry about him a little bit for the prices we're seeing, but 6,300 is still pretty fair. So yeah, we'll see. I don't think I'm going to get to Baker, but he's a cheap quarterback and it's a good stack with Mike Evans or Chris Godwin. I'd rather have Mike Evans, but Diami Brown, 3K flat out of North Carolina. I think this guy is a burner. Obviously he's a burner. You've seen him catch 45 yard touchdowns before, but he's very inconsistent. But you know, I think moving on from Jahan Dotson, I have a lot of friends that were Jahan Dotson truthers and kept drafting in the past 2 years. Like, all right, how'd that work? That guy will probably be forgotten about in the NFL in 2 years. So, you know, a lot of bad drafting. I'm lucky I never stepped in that landmine, but Diami Brown, I do believe, is a wide receiver too here. Looking at the, you know, the reps with Jaden Daniels too in the first drive, which are usually scripted, he got two or three targets. So this is a guy that has a very explosive nature. He's a hard worker. North Carolina Tar Heel, I do love that. But 3K flat for a guy that can catch a 45-yard touchdown, absolutely going to be in play for me in GPPs. And then tight end, not really interested in Zach Ertz. Ben Sinnott, we'll see what happens later on in the season. Probably don't see a lot of him right now. Kate Otten, no thanks. But both defenses is kind of off them both. But we will pull up my report real quick. Let's see what we got for my playbook that will be posted on WinDailySports.com. And then again, too, if you you want last-minute information, building some lineups, ask some seasonal questions, Ghost and I think, and now David Jones over from FTN Fantasy. Used to be with Win Daily, now back with Win Daily. So I'm really excited for the rejuvenated staff we have here. And football is all of our passion. So really pumped for that. Check out the live stream Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern on the Win Daily Sports YouTube. It is free. Comments are wide open. We are there to answer your questions. Obviously break down the slate a little bit more like I did today, but it won't be 50 minutes of me rambling. And let me find this playbook here. So right now, my week one core plays on the cash game side of things are Kyler Murray, Alvin Kamara, Justin Jefferson. I'll probably move that to Tyreek Hill. Khalil Shakir, Evan Ingram. I'm going to wait on the Khalil Shakir thing. I think with the low ownership, I'll probably go there in GPPs. In the GPP core, it says TBD currently. Right now, I'm leaning Derek Carr, Chris Olave, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and maybe Josh Wiley, maybe De'Ami Brown. I haven't figured that part out yet, but I'm certainly going to need some savings, or Jaleel McLaughlin. So we'll see what happens. But thank you so much for the support. Hope you enjoyed the show. Like, subscribe, do whatever you got to do. Tweet me at Twitter to go pound sand if you hated it. But really excited to try to keep this under an hour. Last year I had some episodes go like an hour 15, but when you start breaking down coverages and all that, it's, yeah, I could talk for days. But greatly appreciate the support. Check us out on Sunday at Win Daily. Sign up at Win Daily Sports if you want to, or reach out to me for a free like 7 to 14 day trial. We can work something out, I'm sure, but don't want to pump any other thing and tell you to sign up for shit if podcasts and free content on Twitter is what you do. So enjoy it. Good luck this week to all, and thank you so much for the support. Let's go get them.